Good day, this is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, February 24th, 2026. And starting with the commercial news, we have a story titled, Superintendent Addresses Friday's Fight. And this is by Chad Dare. Danville. Parents and guardians of North Ridge Middle School students received a message on Monday from Danville District 118 Superintendent John Hart regarding a fight on Friday at the school. The altercation, which was recorded by other students and distributed on social media, occurred as students were exiting the building during school dismissal. According to the message from Hart, the fight took place in one of the hallways, and the school district is reviewing video footage to identify all students involved. Although cell phones are not permitted during the school day, students had already retrieved their phones from their yonder pouches at dismissal, which allowed some individuals to record portions of the incident, said Hart in his message. We want to strongly emphasize that sharing, circulating such videos is inappropriate, contributes to additional harm, and can create misleading and inaccurate perceptions about the safety of our schools. Hart added that when the administration concluded their day on Friday, detailed information including witness accounts, student statements, and a complete video review had not yet been finalized. For this reason, we did not provide any details at that time, as doing so without full accuracy could have resulted in misinformation or confusion, Hart stated. A comprehensive review will continue as staff and students return to school. According to Hart, no students sustained physical injuries during the altercation. However, involvement in such behavior will not be tolerated, he said. Students who participated in or contributed to the incident will receive disciplinary consequences in accordance with district policy. Next up, we have a staff report titled, Schweitzer Calls for Affordability Relief for Families. Springfield. State Representative Brandon Schweitzer, Republican from Danville, is pushing for affordability and relief for families in eastern Illinois. Schweitzer issues the following statement after Governor J.B. Pritzker presented his fiscal year 2027 budget proposal to the Illinois General Assembly last Wednesday. According to the release, Pritzker's proposed $56 billion budget would be the largest in state history and includes more than $700 million in new and increased taxes. Families across Vermilion and Champaign counties are already feeling the strain of rising costs, Representative Schweitzer said in the release. They are paying more for groceries, utilities, property taxes, and everyday essentials. They simply cannot afford higher taxes or more government spending. Schweitzer emphasized that affordability remains the top concern he hears from constituents throughout the district. I regularly speak with seniors on fixed incomes, working families, and small business owners who are struggling to keep up with rising utility bills and the overall cost of living, Schweitzer said. They need relief, not more financial pressure coming from Springfield. Schweitzer called for a renewed focus on responsible budgeting and protecting taxpayers. We must prioritize affordability, cut wasteful spending, and work toward lowering utility costs and easing the financial burden on Illinois families, Schweitzer said. I remain committed to fighting for policies that protect taxpayers and make Illinois more affordable for the people I serve. The budget process will continue in the coming months as lawmakers work toward a final agreement before the new fiscal year begins. To follow along with the process through session and committee hearings, visit ilga.gov. In And our final item from the front page this morning is from Capital News Illinois, and it's by Maggie Doherty, titled Going Nuclear. Governor claims new framework will prioritize affordability, safety, and reliability. Chicago. During his recent State of the State and budget address, Governor J.B. Pritzker announced a new direction for nuclear energy in Illinois aimed at staving off predicted energy shortages as the state moves toward carbon-free power generation. Pritzker signed an executive order the morning of the address saying it sets a new nuclear energy framework for Illinois, one that prioritizes affordability, safety, and reliability. The goal, according to the governor, is to begin development on new nuclear power plants to deliver at least 2 gigawatts more energy capacity, enough to power up to 2 million Illinois homes. Construction for those sites would be expected to begin by 2033. That energy would be needed to power homes and businesses as Illinois moves towards shuttering fossil fuel plants by 2045, as required under the state's landmark energy legislation passed in 2021, the Climate and Equitable Jobs Act. However, it may also be too late to prevent shortfalls that three state agencies last year predicted would hit northern Illinois by 2029 and downstate by 2031. The challenges are not unique to Illinois, with both of the federally regulated regional transmission organizations that serve the state facing capacity shortages amid plant closures and growing demand. New large-scale nuclear is only just becoming an option again in Illinois after 4 decades. Pritzker's signature on the Clean and Reliable Grid Affordability Act, or CRGA, which goes into effect in June, lifted a state moratorium on new nuclear power that dated back to the 1980s. The state previously lifted a moratorium on construction of small modular reactors generating less than 300 megawatts in 2023. The same year, Pritzker vetoed a bill that would have lifted the broader moratorium on large-scale construction. Even with the moratoriums in place, Illinois has maintained its position as the top producer of nuclear energy in the U.S., generating an eighth of the nation's nuclear power across its 6 nuclear power plants. That nuclear power accounted for over half of the state's net electric power generated in 2024, according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration. By expediting the identification of new nuclear sites, Pritzker said he's hopeful the order will help ensure Illinois can keep up with the increasing demand and keep energy affordable while creating thousands of jobs and maintaining its position as a net energy exporter. The new order sets deadlines for identifying potential sites for nuclear plants as well as for reviewing existing nuclear regulations and issuing recommendations for any changes to those rules. The Illinois Power Agency, a state agency responsible for creating annual electricity procurement plans, and the state's utility regulator, the Illinois Commerce Commission, have 60 days from the date the order was signed to seek notice of interest from potential developers or current nuclear operators that want to expand their operations. All of Illinois' nuclear power plants are owned by Constellation Energy, a company spun off by Exelon Corporation, the parent of utility giant Commonwealth Edison. CEJA, the 2021 law, created hundreds of millions of dollars in subsidies for the state's nuclear industry to prevent plant closures. Developers will be asked to outline potential locations for new sites, expected cost and timeline to connect facilities to the grid, economic development impacts, workforce training needs, and other factors for consideration. The IPA is also tasked with assessing its own staffing and consultancy needs to support the initiative with appropriate expertise over the next 1 to 3 years. The ICC is separately tasked with seeking notice from local communities around the state about interest in hosting a new nuclear site. Those communities will be asked to provide information such as land and water availability, economic development factors, stakeholder support, and existing interconnection infrastructure that would make locations favorable for hosting a nuclear plant. At the same time, both agencies are expected to form a working group with state departments for economic development and labor, environmental protection, natural resources, and emergency management, plus the University of Illinois, to issue a report to the governor's office. That report, due 120 days from the order's signing, is expected to review existing statutes and issue recommendations for safety, environmental, and interconnection regulations needed for the development of new sites. The Illinois Environmental Council praised Pritzker's success in addressing capacity and climate change in the power sector, but said the state should be prioritizing other energy sources. The urgency of the climate crisis demands that we prioritize the deployment of true, clean, renewable energy sources like solar, wind, and battery storage, which can be done reliably, quickly, and cost-effectively, an IEC statement read. In a rapidly warming world, and while the Trump administration is actively slashing safety regulations for nuclear reactors, solar, wind, and battery storage are the solutions that require our focus. The order received applause from some lawmakers who were not always aligned with the governor's policy positions. I don't often agree with the governor, but recognizing the benefits of advancements in nuclear energy production and expanding the dominance Illinois holds in nuclear energy generation is an area in which I'm happy we do agree, Representative Jeff Kiker, Republican from Sycamore, said in a statement. Amazing developments are happening in nuclear energy, and each year more and more innovation is on the horizon. The only way we can possibly expect to have plenty of affordable, reliable baseload power without a carbon footprint is through nuclear power, Kiker added. And turning to some local items, we have petition packets available for 2026. And this is a staff report. Danville. Petition packets for independent and new political party candidates who wish to run for local offices in the general election on November 3rd are available at the Vermilion County Clerk's Office. According to a release from Robin Heffern, Vermilion County Clerk, packets can be picked up between 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday, beginning on Wednesday, February 25th. The first day that petitions for new political party candidates and independent candidates may be circulated is Wednesday, February 25th. Petitions must be filed with the Vermilion County Clerk beginning on Monday, May 18th at 8 a.m. through Tuesday, May 26th at 5 p.m. Local offices to be elected on Tuesday, November 3rd general election include County Clerk, County Treasurer, Supervisor of Assessments, County Sheriff, Regional Superintendent of Schools, Board of Review Members, and County Board Members. Federal, state, and judicial offices will also be on the ballot. For information and the necessary forms for those offices, you can find those on the State Board of Elections website at www.elections.il.gov. And now we're going to turn to the obituaries for February 24th. And the first today is for Barbara Bailey. Barbara Bailey, 95, of Danville, continued her journey with the Lord on Friday, February 20th, 2026. A celebration of life will be held at 2 p.m. on Thursday, February 26th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville at 3940 North Vermilion Street, Danville, Illinois. Reverend Keila Newman will officiate. Deeply committed to her faith and family, Barbara will be laid to rest at Spring Hill Cemetery by her large and loving family. A visitation will be held from 1 to 2 p.m. on Thursday, February 26th at the funeral home. Memorials may be made in Barbara's memory to the Vermilion County Animal Shelter. Eileen Baller. Mary Eileen Baller, 91, passed away on February 10, 2025 at Fountain Springs Assisted Living in Covington. A visitation will be held from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday, February 28th at Sunset Funeral Home at 420 3rd Street in Covington, Indiana. A funeral service will immediately follow at 1 p.m. that day at the funeral home. She will be laid to rest next to Fred at Mount Hope Cemetery in Covington following services. Michael Corson. Michael, or Mick, Corson, 83, of Danville, Illinois, passed away peacefully on February 19, 2026. A memorial service will be held at 3 p.m. on Saturday, February 28th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Pastor Ed Stone will officiate, and interment will follow at Sunset Memorial Park. Visitation will be from 1 to 3 p.m. Saturday, February 28th, at the funeral home. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions may be made in Mick's memory to the Vermilion County Conservation District. Mark Darnell. Mark Darnell, 64, of Danville, died Sunday, February 22nd, at La Bella of Danville. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Leek & Sons Funeral Home, 304 East Williams Street in Danville. John Flynn. John G. Flynn, 93, of Danville, died Thursday, February 19th at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortvet Funeral Services and Crematory at 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton. Nina Magruder. Nina L. Magruder, 59, of Danville, died Monday, February 23rd, 2026, at home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Leek & Sons Funeral Home, 304 East Williams Street in Danville. D. Dale Rammert. D. Dale Rammert, 82, of Danville, died Friday, February 20th, at the Villas of Hollybrook. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortvet Funeral Services and Crematory at 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton. Patricia Reed. Patricia Reed, 68, of Danville, died Saturday, February 21st, 2026, at home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Leek & Sons Funeral Home, 304 East Williams Street in Danville. And that's the end of the obituaries for this Tuesday. We have a article from the News Gazette now, titled Circle Academy to Expand to Newtown. Agency buying former Oakwood Junior High site for $25,000. And this is by Jana Wiersma. Newtown. A local agency has announced plans to open a third location of its school for students with special needs. Cunningham Children's Home is in the process of acquiring the former Oakwood Junior High School, located at the corner of East 2150 North Road and North 900 East Road in Newtown, and plans to convert the site into a third location for Circle Academy. The program also has campuses in Urbana and Rossville. According to Oakwood Schools Superintendent Andy Jordan, the agency's bid was $25,000, and the school board has approved the sale. He estimated that the deal will close within the next 2 weeks. Cunningham Children's Home President and CEO Marlon Livingston estimated that the Newtown location of Circle Academy will open sometime during the 2026 to 2027 school year. I think fall of 26 is really ambitious, he said. Spring 27 is probably more realistic. Cunningham Children's Home is in the process of acquiring the former Oakwood Junior High School in Newtown, with plans to convert the site into a third location for Circle Academy. Livingston noted that the organization holds its buildings to a high standard, particularly when it comes to fire code, and the former junior high will need to be retrofitted to make the grade. The lead time on certain materials could be lengthy, he said, and Cunningham Children's Home also will have to hire new staff and go through various regulatory processes with the state. Circle Academy serves children who live at home and face behavioral and emotional challenges that make success in public schools difficult, agency officials said. We're a private, alternative, therapeutic day school, which basically means we service public school students from surrounding districts, both in Champaign and Vermilion County, said Circle Academy Director of Education Mark McCusker. He added that all students have individualized education plans with a variety of different diagnoses. According to Cunningham Children's Home, these can include emotional disabilities, specific learning disabilities, intellectual disabilities, other health impairments, autism, traumatic brain injuries, or developmental delays. The agency's goal is to work with students and their families with the aim that children will be able to return to their home schools quickly. The new site will eventually expand Circle Academy's capacity from 120 to 170 students, agency officials said. However, the plan is to grow enrollment gradually as the new campus is developed. Livingston estimates that the Newtown site will likely open with just a couple of classrooms and about 15 to 20 students. Agency officials said that in addition to allowing Circle Academy to serve more students in East Central Illinois, the new location will give the academy greater flexibility to adapt to changing referral patterns, staffing needs, and community demand. When asked about how this expansion came about, Livingston said that Cunningham Children's Home has been considering adding a new campus for a few years and became interested in the former Oakwood Junior High site after hearing that a previous deal on that property had fallen through. We had had pretty strong referrals for our services at both the Rossville campus and the Urbana campus, he said. We had inquired and looked at some options in Danville, but none of those seemed to kind of fit in terms of timing and use and things like that. This seemed like everything kind of aligned. The former junior high was built in 1956 and decommissioned a little over 4 years ago, Jordan said. It has a little over 28,000 square feet. It's been costing the district a little bit of money to maintain and upkeep, but we've used it for practice facilities, he said. The previous would-be buyer planned to use the property for some kind of residential purpose, but he did not have the money at the time of closing, Jordan said. As a result, school officials went back to the drawing board and sought the community's input on the site. They really wanted us to either demolish it or see it used as a school, because it was built as a school, Jordan said. So we took the community feedback and we ran with it. The school district then sought bids from buyers who would use the site as a school and also looked into how much demolition would cost. The demolition bids came back at about $500,000 for the work, which would have included asbestos removal, Jordan said. He feels good about how things have turned out and noted that there is a growing need for the kind of services Circle Academy provides. They're going to be able to run it as a school, have special education students in there, and that's kind of what the community wants. And then there's also going to have to be more employees that are at that school, so the businesses of Oakwood are going to benefit. There's going to be more jobs in our community, so it's a real win-win for the school district. And returning to the community pages of the commercial news, we have Danville man arrested for an active IDOC warrant. And this is a staff report. Danville. A Danville man was arrested on Sunday for an active arrest warrant through the Illinois Department of Corrections. According to a release from the Danville Police Department, officers with the patrol division observed a vehicle that was being operated by Joseph Vasilo, 36, of Danville. Officers knew Vasilo had an active arrest warrant. Officers attempted to stop the vehicle while in the drive-thru of a business on South Gilbert Street. Officers confirmed that Vasilo was the driver of the vehicle. Vasilo then drove away from the stop and led officers on a vehicle pursuit, which eventually ended with Vasilo pulling into a driveway in the 100 block of Avenue C and surrendering. He was arrested and transported to the Vermilion County Jail, where he was held on the preliminary charges, aggravated fleeing, eluding, and his Illinois Department of Corrections arrest warrant. Next, we have another staff report titled Danville Man Arrested for BB Gun Shooting. Danville. A Danville man was arrested by police on Monday and accused of shooting a postal worker with a BB gun. According to a release from the Danville Police Department, officers with the patrol division were notified last Tuesday that a United States Postal Service employee was shot with a BB gun in the 200 block of Hazel Street while delivering the mail. A report was taken and an investigation was launched. Detectives working the case identified Jay Hollis, 49, of Danville as a suspect. Hollis was located on East Harrison Street on Monday, where he was arrested and transported to the Vermilion County Jail on a preliminary charge of aggravated battery. And from Community Briefs, the City of Danville Public Works Yard Waste Division announces that 2026 yard waste stickers are available for purchase now. Stickers are priced at $40 each and may be purchased in person or by phone using debit or credit card at the City of Danville Public Works and the Robert E. Jones Municipal Building. Please note that the only city-approved containers displaying a valid 2026 yard waste sticker will be collected during designated toter-only collection periods. A collection schedule and brochure outlining program guidelines will be provided with each sticker purchase. And that takes us to the end of our time for this Tuesday, February 24th, 2026. Again, my name is Greg, and as always, it's been a pleasure to read for you, and I hope that you have a splendid day. Take care.